Bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycles. One thing folks are doing to get out of the house is biking, and many are doing it for the first time in quite a while. And our guests today have some tips for getting your bike and you ready for the road. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. One guest is Brent Bauman. He's the operations manager at Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor in Fort Atkinson. And his fellow employee, Dale Astrike, is also with us. He does sales and repairs bikes and organizes group rides. Brent, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, it's great to be here again, Larry.
And Dale, thank you for joining us again.
Good morning, Larry. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. And I'm glad to be able to talk with you about safe biking. I know you guys will have some recommendation for great trails. So as you're listening to this conversation, I hope you'll join in with your questions as you listen along here. What biking questions do you have? Safety concerns, maybe. Join in the conversation. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And I just to begin with, maybe you can give us an update, Brent, maybe you can do this, on how Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor is adjusting to the COVID-19 restrictions.
Yeah, so as hopefully the listeners know, bikes have been deemed an essential service, and so we are still open, albeit with some changes in how we do things operationally. So we've cut down the number of days a week we're open. We've limited the hours themselves to a few hours in the afternoon. But, you know, we're trying to take all the safety precautions that the CDC has been recommending. We've added some pickup and delivery to our services, as well as, you know, curbside options for folks, so that they don't have to come into the store. And then on top of that, as people know, you can shop online and get stuff shipped straight to your house at any time. So we're definitely adjusting. It's a little bit different. And but you know, we are open for business, and we continue to hope to support people. We think bikes are great, not just for your health, but just for your mental health in this time right now.
Absolutely. Well, Dale Astrike, you organize rides, and so far, are the annual bike rides being canceled or delayed at least?
Yes, a lot of them are being canceled. Some of them are being delayed. Kind of the problem is everything is going to fill up in the fall. I mean, there's going to be so many things trying to do their rides in the fall or their runs that we at Tour de Goose, which your partner Jill was a member of for a long time, we've just decided to cancel because there's just too many things going on in the fall, and we're going to redo it next year and hopefully do it bigger and better than ever.
Well, good enough. For most people, I think biking season is just starting. I know there are some places perhaps where it hasn't started yet here in the state, maybe in the far north. But what are some important things to consider before heading out for a ride? Do we kind of have a checklist to go through?
Yeah. You know, we kind of call this an ABC checklist, which is things that you want to look at on your bike before you head out. And really, you want to do these literally before every ride. Make sure that you inspect your tires, check them for air. Most folks probably don't realize this, but a butyl inner tube inside of a bicycle loses air pressure quickly, much quicker than, say, your car tire does. So it's a good idea to check it. You know, Dale and I are a little obsessive. We check it every ride, but at least once a week. And there's a recommended tire pressure printed right on the sidewall of every tire. So your home floor pump hopefully has a gauge on it. Just, you know, look at that. Look at your kids' bikes. They don't tend to look at that. And also, that's a good time to inspect the tire for wear. Are there any bald spots, or are there any sidewalls cracked? Grab the brakes and the bars. So A, air. B, grab the brakes. You should be able to pull them half to three-quarter down if you can pull them all the way down to the handlebar. They're a little bit loose, and you'll want to tighten those up. Also, look at the pads. They do wear out. So you want to get those replaced if they look like they're worn down to the holder there, so that they're stopping. Make sure the bars are tight. There's some bolts on there. Everything on a bike is metric. And then C is really kind of the chain and the crank. You know, look at your chain. I can chain to, like, changing the oil in your car. Make sure it's clean. Make sure it's degreased and lubed. Make sure it's not rusty. And over time, those will need to be replaced. And then make sure that your cranks themselves are not loose. That's not a problem you want to have out on the road. And the crank is the part of the bike where the pedal's attached to when you're doing the pedaling. And finally, it really doesn't fit the ABC, but it's always good to inspect the wheel itself to make sure that it's secured onto the bike properly, whether with a quick release or a bolt, or more recently, a through axle. But those are things you want to do before every ride. Just understand that everything's tight, your tires are aired up, your chain looks good, and you can stop when you need to.
Yeah, it was, as you were talking, I was thinking about getting the bike, when we got the bikes out here a week or so ago, the tires were definitely low. And I've got a tire pump, as you were talking about, I've got a, I think it's Planet Bike tire pump, and that pressure gauge attached to the pump, that really is handy.
Yeah, and different tire sizes, volumes, are going to have different recommended pressures. You know, a kid's bike or mountain bike may be 30 to 50 PSI, and that's that number right there on the gauge. You know, a road bike might be 100. And there's a bit of a range there. One of the things you want to be aware of, one is ride quality, but two is just if your bike tire pressure gets too low, that's what's protecting your wheel from the ground when you go over potholes and other things. So if you don't have enough air volume in there, you hit a pothole or a bump or, you know, these wonderful Wisconsin roads we have out after the winters, and you can actually either flat out the inner tube inside or damage the rim. So one of the biggest preventative things to save yourself some money and save yourself the hassle of getting an inner tube replaced is to check your tire pressure regularly.
Yeah, that's great. I've got a little packet or that sits right underneath my seat that contains a lot of things, including an extra tube. And
yeah,
and some other things. But you've probably got a checklist for that as well.
Yeah, Dale, what do you usually carry with you with every ride?
I usually have at least a tube and then something to inflate the tube with, because flats are definitely the biggest problem with tires. It's not hard to pick up a piece of glass, a piece of wire, a nail or something like that. So to have a tube and to have something to get that tire off, they're called tire levers, and then just to know how to take a tire off and put a new tube in if you do have a flat and find whatever is making that flat, whatever went through that tire, and then you need something to inflate that tire with. So either a little hand pump, or we use these little things that are CO2 cartridges with a little head on them that you can put air in your tires. Basically, that's the most important thing to have along with you on a ride. If you can get yourself back home again, that does it all. The chain, the brakes, all those things, they all are can be a problem, but really the biggest problem always is a tire that you might get a flat somewhere along the line, especially in the spring before the rain has cleaned the roads off, and that you're likely or more likely to find something on the road that you are going to hit and put through your tire.
You know, when I was thinking back to when I've got the bike that I have now, that which is a long time ago now, I've had it a long time, I put thousands of miles on it. When I first got it, I thought, you know what, I've got the spare inner tube and everything, and I've never done it before, so I actually took the tire off and practiced before. I sat on the back porch or on the front porch and took the tire off and practiced putting the inner tube in.
And not a bad idea.
I did
you
it.
Come to the shop. And we do it in about 5 minutes, where when you do it the first time by yourself, it's going to take a little while.
Oh, man, it took a while. And it was kind of, I kind of had a laugh about it because I went out and about 3 miles in, I had a flat on a brand new, ran over a nail or something. I forget now. But I hadn't gone 3 miles, and I had thought, boy, I'm glad I practiced this. It took it took less time the second time around. What's that?
Oh, sorry, Larry. I think you hit on a good point there, though, which is it's always best to practice that. I mean, that's one of the things you should know. We think everybody should know how to do with a bike, right? Because, yeah, you can have a cell phone, but maybe you rode somewhere that doesn't have service. Maybe your phone's not working, and you don't want to get stranded. And it's, you kind of hinted at it, it's way easier under the pressure, you know, the non-pressure of being in your own garage on your porch to practice putting that tire and that inner tube on and off as opposed to when you're out on the side of the road. And practice with both the front and the rear. The rear can be a little bit more difficult to get off. One other good pointer for folks, because we see this a lot, is if you get a flat tire, especially if you're on the road like where you were, check to see where the hole in the inner tube was. Maybe don't even take that inner tube all the way out and start. You can check it by putting some air in. And you'll hear, hopefully, where that little hole is, because what you want to do is make sure whatever caused that flat isn't still in your tire. And sometimes that can be really hard to see.
Right.
If you have a reference point of where that hole is, you don't do what can happen a lot of times, which is you take the old inner tube out, you put the new one in, you didn't remove the wire, the piece of glass. Sometimes these things are really small like thorns. And then all of a sudden, now you've got a second flat right away because you've never removed that bit of debris that caused your issue.
That is a very, very good piece of advice, one I haven't done. I guess I've been lucky. any flats I've had, it was quite apparent caused it. Well, we're talking today with Brent Bauman and Dale Astrike. They are with Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor in Fort Atkinson. They've been with us in the past. We always have a lot of fun when they're on, talking today about, hey, it's time to get your bike out. If you haven't gotten it out yet, you should be thinking along those lines. And certainly in this sort of climate we're in now with COVID-19, it's probably one of the great things that you can be doing to get out and get some exercise and clear your mind. Questions for them, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Ideas about or questions about where to bike, what's a good place to bike, questions about the bike itself, maybe a bike experience you've had that you want to share with us, good or bad, funny or indifferent. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call, or email at ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Tim Peterson, our on-air producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Little Pink Floyd there to get you back in the mood, talking about bikes and bicycling with our two guests, Brent Bauman and Dale Astrike from Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us today. Questions for them, give a call at 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org, and we're all pumped up, so to speak, to hear what you have to say. Let's go to Bob in Platteville. Bob, hi, thank you for calling.
In 2003, I was in a bike race on a road with my team. I crossed the finish line and turned around to join my team when a truck pulling a trailer passed me in a no passing zone. I either fell down or was knocked down, and the trailer ran over my head and left me with a traumatic brain injury. But the important thing is my helmet saved my life. I wrote Bell Helmet and thanked them for designing a helmet that saved my life, and they sent me a certificate signed by their CEO, Saved by the Bell. And just please pass the word, helmets save lives.
Oh, man. Well, that is a very good reminder and quite a story, Bob. Thank you so much for calling. Dale, a comment on that?
Absolutely. We don't ever go out without our helmets on. Even like when we have to test ride the bikes out of the shop after we fix them, we throw our helmets on and go out because it only takes a second and you're down and could be a lot of problems after that. Also, something that a lot of people don't think about is that helmets do dry out after a while. The foam inside that is protecting your head after years will become brittle and not do the job. So a helmet should be replaced after a few years simply because of these things. And nothing is better than a helmet. And the other thing we worry about is people should have some kind of lights, daylight running lights, lights. It just makes people see you a little bit better out there.
Yeah, I took a tumble once and it landed on my elbow and my head and cracked my helmet. It was a new helmet, and that pretty much saved my life as well. So I never get on the bike without a helmet. And
right.
And sizing those, you know, guys, you know, I'd rather, when I go to get a new helmet, I almost always have somebody from the shop who knows what they're doing fit me, even though I've done it a few times.
Right. It's even hard for us to fit ourselves. I mean, it's easier, so much easier to fit somebody else with a helmet, you know, to get those straps to come down the right spot and have the clips in the right spot. It just is so much easier to have someone who has experience doing that.
Bob, thanks again. Appreciate it very much. Let's take a call from Bill in Waukesha. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I have one of my bikes is a recumbent, a Haluzek Horizon, I think it is. And the neck on it is for, it extends or retracts for the front, the crank, which extends out over the rest of the bike. Anyway, it's like infinite adjustment. And one of the things I had experience with it before I parked it for a while was it, under load, it'll jump up a gear. And if you're starting out under load, well, that's, you know, kind of, yeah, frustrating. And what I thought was, well, either the chain is too light or too tight or too loose. Which would it possibly be?
All right. Dale, do you want to take that?
Well, it could be either, or it could be that your cassette is worn out, or it could be that your chain is worn out. Could be that the derailleur is just out of adjustment. That's something, it's, you know, there's so many different factors there that it's, and that we get this a lot at the shop, and it's just easier for one of us mechanics to actually have it in front of us to see it, you know, to make a better judgment on that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that it's one of those times probably, Bill, where you want to take it into to your local bike shop, repair shop or whatever, and have them look at it. I agree. I think as you said there, Dale, there could be about five different things.
Right.
Yeah. So take it into the shop and have them take a look at it. Mary Ann in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Mary Ann.
Yes. I just wanted to first give a shout out to my local bike shop, which is Wrench and Roll on the north side of La Crosse. I was able to get my bike in right as the schools were closing this month and get it in for a tune-up and some minor repair, replacement of parts. This is the time of year I usually pick my son up from school by bike, and I pull the burly trailer hauling his bike so he can bike home with me. We have wonderful bike paths here in La Crosse, and we can bike through the marsh, and we often take the long way home. So what should be 3 miles is often 7 miles or 9 miles home. And now that schools are closed and he's at home with me, I still really want to keep that pulse of exercise as well as getting outside in nature. And we are biking every day. This past week, we biked about 50 miles for the week. My son is 9. And it's just, it's such a wonderful thing physically, but then mentally, we've watched, you know, a groundhog close up and wood ducks, and we see the flooding and the changes in the closed paths sometimes due to the flooded La Crosse River. We see the fluctuations of the season unfolding right before us when there's just so much bombardment of, you know, fear and sadness that's very real. But how do you, as a parent, take care of yourself and your child? And biking, for me, is a big piece of my answer to that.
Oh, Marianne, thank you so much for calling. Well, I don't think you're going to get any arguing from us here. Brent Bauman, a comment?
No, I think that this is one of the things right now that you can do outdoors and, you know, obviously socially distance from other folks, and maybe discover some areas that, take the long way. I myself, this is, you know, part of the reason I love bikes is I joke that it's cheaper than therapy. It's one of the things that really relaxes me. And so getting out into nature, finding places that, you know, now as much as ever that are remote to be able to ride and things like that are great. And take a moment to, I found myself recently taking time to just kind of look around when I'm on the bike a little bit more, you know, getting away from training or racing or, you know, riding in a big group to just enjoy being outside in nature.
Marianne, I thank you so much. You're a good mom for sure. Thank you. Let's take another call. Jake in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Jake.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to voice a public complaint about the LED lights that are used on bicycles, because I find that I can hardly see when I approach one of them. But the same thing is true in a car. I don't think that they should be legal. They're way too bright.
Those flashing LEDs you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's turn to Brent for a comment.
Sure, and he's certainly making a good point. It's kind of with those lights, there's different settings on them, and I think that one thing that riders sometimes don't realize is you want to, especially for the front light, have that pointed. One, there's a day setting and a night setting. So the brighter setting during the day isn't going to create any issues, but you don't want to be running that day setting at night if you're, like, on a path, say, along, like, the John Nolan or things where you can actually put it in motorized size, and you want to have that front headlight pointed down a little bit. I think from a safety standpoint, they're great. They're no different than maybe your bright versus low setting on your cars, but it is important as a cyclist to make sure that front light isn't pointed straight forward, but it is pointed slightly down so that you're not putting that bright light into either oncoming traffic or other riders or other trail users.
Yeah, absolutely. So a way to do it, if you're listening and you've got one of those lights on, take a look at your light and look at the adjustment for daytime and nighttime, and then look at how it's angled and make the adjustment, the proper adjustment, because I'm with Jake. It really is sometimes hard it's kind of blinding, actually, if the lights aren't adjusted properly. So very good point, Jake. Thank you so much. Open lines, we'll get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. A question about biking or equipment, maybe an experience to share. We've had some good ones. I hope you'll join in. 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Courtney from Appleton wanted to know if you guys have recommendation for bike racks for cars, ones that go on top of the vehicle or ones with a trailer hitch. I actually have two that have trailer hitch, that are trailer hitch. One is larger for handling, you know, if there's going to be, it'll hold four bikes pretty easy. And then I've got another one that's just if my daughter and I are going to go somewhere, and that's just holds two bikes. So that's, of course, easier to put on and off. But what do you guys have for recommendations when it comes to that? Dale, you want to chime in?
Well, I'm a big proponent of the trailer hitch ones. If you possibly can get a trailer hitch on your vehicle, they're just so much easier to work with. They're easier for you. You only have to lift them a couple feet off of the ground. The bikes are much more secure. Years ago, we had to pretty much put everything on the roofs of our cars, and that was a that got old after a while. It was just a lot of work. It's just so much easier. The ones that strap on the back are nice. Saris, which is a Wisconsin company, makes both of them. That's who we deal with, and we are just so happy with all of their equipment. They just do such a great job. But the trailer or the one that fits in your receiver is definitely the easiest to deal with. The ones that strap on work real well. There are the ones for your roof, but most people, you have to have a ladder to get your bikes up there. Or you know, some kind of a step stool or something, and then you got to take the wheel off and put them up there, and it's just so much easier to put something on the back of your bike. The back of your car.
Absolutely. You know, on some of them, I notice if it says it'll hold three bikes, it really holds two comfortably.
That's for sure, especially with the bigger handlebars, the mountain bikes and that. It's hard to get three bikes on there. You really have to work with it a little bit. And that's another thing that you have to practice with and get used to, putting them on there.
Yeah. Frank in Harshaw has something for us. Hi, Frank. Thank you for calling. We got Frank there. We may have lost Frank. Let's go to Scott in Oconomowoc. Hi, Scott.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to get back into biking now for a while to get some exercise and all the other benefits I can get out of it. And I'm curious about recumbent bikes. The last bike I had, it was hard to get a seat that was comfortable, and I was having issues with my hands falling asleep. I've had carpal tunnel in the past. I tried different handlebars and gloves and different grips, and I'm wondering if a recumbent might be a benefit. I don't know if you get the same type of workout. Obviously, it's probably not as much of a workout, but wondering what the different types of recumbents and who they're best suited for and what general thoughts are on them.
Sure. Thanks, Scott, for calling. Appreciate it. Who wants to take that?
I can jump in here. So yeah, some of those issues may be solved by recumbent, and there are just like there's, you know, a standard, you know, kind of sitting upright bicycle, how there's, you know, dozens of different styles. There's a lot of different styles of recumbents as well. To the question about a workout, you can, you know, the great thing about a bike is you can work as hard or as easy as you'd like, and there are recumbents out there that are designed to ride like a racing road bike that people would probably think of, with skinny tires and an efficient position. So the workout on a recumbent can certainly be equal to that, or even sometimes if you're going uphill, harder than on a standard bicycle. But they come in a few different formats, and I think with recumbents, one of the biggest things is to maybe test ride some options. There's the, you know, the real low trike versions where you've got maybe two wheels in the front and a wheel in the back. Those are really comfortable, but maybe not as efficient of a ride. You've got the two-wheeled versions that come maybe with a bigger wheel in the back or smaller or the same size in the front and rear. So there's a few different options. Those tend to be a little bit quicker, but because they're not a trike, they do require a bit more balance. So that's one of those things that the different styles of recumbents are going to ride quite differently, and it's a good idea to get a chance to get on a few of them. But it does sound like with some of the hand issues and other things that it would be a good option and certainly would be a workout.
Is there just to follow up on that, is there a pretty good relationship between price and, let's say, quality and what you're going to enjoy or not enjoy after the fact?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people say you get what you pay for. Recumbents in general, because it's a more of a niche bike product, tend to run more expensive for what I would say probably having kind of like similar components. just because they're a bit more complex to put together. They're bigger. They sometimes require some specialty components. You know, most good quality recumbents, you're new, you're starting at $800 or $900, and you can go up infinitely from there. There's even some, you know, e-bike recumbents at these points that run into the multiple thousands of dollars.
There we go. Scott, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Do a little test driving the way it sounds. Steven Ives Grove has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I do. Mine is just a comment. I'm concerned about all bicyclists' safety. As I told the screener, the bicycles are slow-moving vehicles, and it is my thought and opinion that all bicyclists, daylight or night, should be required by law to wear some type of blaze color for identification and safety. Now, a lot of the bicyclists I think I see get killed at night. And those flashing lights are nothing but a distraction. So that's my comment, is that I think they ought to be required to wear a small placard on the back of their bike seat or on their body, like a vest.
All right. Well, let's turn to Dale. Dale Astrike, what do you think?
Yeah. I really don't know what to say about that. I mean, we all really try and tell people to wear bright clothing. I mean, when they're riding, I mean, a lot of the bicycle clothing companies have really gone to the fluorescent colors, the much more bright colors. We really believe in using the taillights. All of us who are at the shop, all of us who we ride with, really use that kind of equipment more, which definitely makes it a lot easier to see all of us. I wouldn't go so far as that we should be all required to wear a vest or something, but definitely I was a truck driver. I saw people out there riding their bikes with gear that was very hard to see, especially in low light situations. I can't argue that point at all, but to require, I'm not really sure what to say about that. Definitely all of us bicyclists have to be seen more often or seen better by giving cars a better chance, and cars have to respect that we do have a right to be on the road. I mean, we are vehicles, and we have our 3 feet, and they have from the edge of the road, and they have to give us a certain amount of room to leave us be out there. We bicycles really got paved roads in Wisconsin originally. So I guess that's what I would have to say. I don't know.
All right. All right. Thank you very much. And Steve, thank mm-hmm. you for calling. Appreciate it. And certainly brightly colored clothing is something that people ought to be considering, and lights as well to help with that situation. Let's go to Mo in Ocado. Mo, hello.
Hi, guys. I got a question. Just want to give a quick shout-out to John and Nick on the Peshtigo Harbor. But my question is this. Clipless pedals, anything that you guys can recommend, especially if you have some knee problems when you do a lot of biking?
Clipless pedals. So it's a problem, can be a problem, getting those clips out unless you've really practiced it a lot, but Dale, comment on that?
Yeah, you can loosen those clips quite a bit, and actually there are different types of cleats for your shoes that have more what they call float, so that they will move around in them, in the clipless pedal a little better, so your knees aren't locked into one position as much. Some of the different kinds of pedals, like I use a Time, which is a French company. Those pedals, your feet or your knees can move around a bit more than some of the standard Shimano ones. So there are different ways of going about that, but you can also loosen those clips too so that your feet and your knees can move around a bit. Brent, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, no, I think float is a big, you know, a little bit of a technical term, but it's a big word. What that basically allows is when you're clipped into the pedal, and so the listeners understand, the clipless fighters are the ones where you actually snap a either metal or plastic cleat into a pedal versus like riding in your tennis shoes and flats. But float is that ability to have your foot move side to side before you snap out. And what that allows is a little bit movement, not only in your feet, but in your knees. Knee issues can come from a couple spots. One might be those the cleats themselves. If you flip your shoe over, you can adjust the cleat position too. It may be that you're turned too far in or too far out. And that's one thing that if your local bike shop has a fitter, they can kind of help you out with in that position. But sometimes knee pain might be caused by something other than the cleats. Maybe it might be a saddle height issue as opposed to maybe a seat height issue as opposed to maybe a cleat or pedal system issue.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's another thing I had the folks at the bike shop do for me is get me on the bike and then adjust the seat according to, you know, they could look at me and figure out where that best seat height adjustment would be for me. And that did help me a lot. We had, and thanks very much for that, Mo. Appreciate it. Here's an email from Courtney wondering about taking a bike into a shop for service during this pandemic. She wants to know what steps we can take to prep our bike for service to make sure to limit any possible contamination and help the shop staff stay safe. Brent, what do you think?
Sure. I can jump in on it. Yeah. You know, one thing that you can do, and one thing that we're offering right now is curbside drop-off and pick-up. We're even doing some limited pick-up and delivery at folks' homes so that they don't have to come into the shop. One thing you can do yourself, you know, certainly any of the touch points on the bike, you know, you can wipe down ahead of bringing it over. I mean, we're all wearing gloves and sanitizing bikes on intake and outtake. But check if your local shop is offering, and most of them are, the opportunity to do, you know, drop off outside of the shop. So you kind of limit that distance and interaction if that's something you're concerned about, to kind of limit the number of people coming in close proximity with each other. And we appreciate that. I'm sure customers appreciate that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys have a website, don't you?
Yeah, we're at 2riversbicycle.com. That's the digit 2, rivers plural, bicycle singular.com. It's up and live. It's got all our information on there. Folks can email us with questions. They can call with questions. And they can also shop online right there on the website. So it's a great time to pick some stuff out and get it shipped to home. If you've got questions about online stuff, you know, shoot us an email, give us a call.
All right, there we go. Well, Brent and Dale, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us. I know this is it's a strange season, but it's probably also a pretty busy season for you. So thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
You betcha. Not a problem.
Always a blast.
We'll have you back. Thank you very much. Brent Bauman is the operations manager at Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor in Fort Atkinson. Been heavily involved in cycling for a long, long time. Dale Astrike has been biking his entire life. He works part-time at Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor on the sales floor. And as a mechanic, he also helps organize their bike rides and is an integral part of Watertown Share the Road organization as well. So great to have them with us today. And we'll have them back periodically, you know, through the course of the biking season. Here in Wisconsin, there's always things that come up, and it'll be great to get them back and be with us again. You might be also considering taking up running along with biking, and this may be a perfect time to start, and we'll be talking about biking next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle.